Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Kernita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio with my special guest in studio with me, Minister Kathy White. Hallelujah. We are super excited about just getting right to the meat of things, the meat of the word in Scripture again as we continue this wonderful series, The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. And we are in part 4, and we're going to be focusing on chapters 7 and 8 today. Minister Kathy will give us a summary of the chapters, the two chapters, and then I will come in right behind her and give a life application of each chapter. And so I just hope and pray that this has been a delight to you as we go through the Scripture recorded in the book of Luke, and as we see Christ in his growth, in his ministry, and as he carries out his ministry, and we will continue on to the very last book, chapter in the book of Luke. So we are just going to get right to things and get started. Minister Kathy will come in, and she will bring us to light as she gives us the summary in chapter 7. So we encourage you to just come ready, willing, and able, as we have done in the past series of this message, The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke. So again, get your Bibles and get your pencils and your paper and take some rich notes so that we can grow together, learn together, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ together. Minister Kathy?
Thank you again, Minister Kernita. I appreciate you having me here. I'm just so excited and delighted about the fact that this word is just stirring me up inside, and I hope that it's doing that for our listeners as well. Here we are on chapter 7 in the book of Luke, and Luke is going to expose us to the healing power of Jesus. He's going to expose us to Jesus as he ministers to those who are sick, who are afraid, and to those who just need him, just like you and I. Let's go to Luke chapter 7, and we'll start at verses 1 through 7. Jesus heals a centurion's servant. Jesus was in Capernaum, and a centurion who had a slave, a centurion who was highly regarded by Jesus had a slave, and that slave was sick as unto death. And the centurion heard about Jesus, and he sent the Jewish elders to ask Jesus to come and to save his slave. Well, the elders came to Jesus. They earnestly begged him, implored Jesus to come, saying, "This is a man who's worthy for you to grant to him, for he loves your nation, and he has built our synagogue." So Jesus started on his way with the elders. He was not far from the house, and the centurion sent his friends to Jesus, saying, "Lord, don't trouble yourself further, for I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof." The centurion says that he wasn't worthy to have Jesus to come to his house, but he asked that Jesus would just say a word and that his servant would be healed. The centurion says that he too was a man of authority with soldiers under him. He can tell a soldier to go, and that soldier will go. He says, "I can tell another to come, and that person will come. I can say to a slave to do this, and he will do this." Jesus heard this, and he marveled at the centurion. Jesus turned to the crowd and said, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." When those who had been sent to Jesus to return to the centurion's house, they found the slave in good health. Sometimes afterwards, Jesus went into a city called Nain. His disciples were with him, and they were accompanied by a very large crowd. When Jesus approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And there was a sizable crowd with her. When Jesus saw her, he felt compassion on her, and he told her not to weep. Jesus and the bearers of the coffin halted. Jesus spoke and said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all. they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people. The report went out over all of Judea and the surrounding districts. The disciples of John then reported to him all these things. John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask the question, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? When the men came to the Lord, they told Jesus that John the Baptist had sent them to ask, are you the one that we expect, or do we look for someone else? Moment. Jesus cured many of the people's diseases and afflictions and evil spirits. He gave sight to the blind. Jesus answered them and said, go and report to John what you've seen and what you heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus said, blessed is he who does not take offense to me. When the disciples of John left, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John and asked, what did they go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? In verse 25, a man dressed in soft clothing. Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal places. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. Jesus then tells that crowd, there is not one among whom it is written. In verse 27, y'all, look with me. He says, behold, I send many messages ahead of you. You will prepare your way before you. Jesus tells the crowd among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Jesus then asked the question in verse 31, to what shall I compare the men of this generation, and what are they like? Jesus said that they are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge. A dirge is a mournful song sang at a funeral, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he is a demon. Jesus says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. One of the Pharisees requested that Jesus would dine with him. Jesus entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at his table. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner, learned that Jesus was reclining at the table of the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster vial of perfume, standing behind Jesus at his feet. Weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she kept wiping them with the hair on her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with her perfume. Now the Pharisee who arrived, who had invited Jesus, saw this and said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus then answered, saying, Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon replied, say it, teacher. Jesus said, a money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to pay, he graciously forgave them both. So which one of them will love him more? Simon then answered, I suppose the one who gave the more. Jesus said to him, you have judged correctly. Then Jesus turned towards the woman who had been anointing his feet with her oil and with her hair, her perfume, and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. Jesus then says, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which have been many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. Jesus then says to the woman, your sins have been forgiven. Those at the table begin to say, who is this man who even forgives sin? Jesus says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Soon afterwards, Jesus began going from one city to a village to another, proclaiming and teaching and preaching the kingdom of God, and his disciples were with him. A woman who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary, who was called Magdalene, whom seven demons had come out of, Jesus was receiving support from Chuza, which was Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who were contributing to the support of Jesus and the disciples out of their private means. When a large crowd gathered from various cities, Jesus told them a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled under feet, and the birds ate it up. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and the seed withered away because there was no moisture. Other seed fell on good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. Jesus then says to the crowd, "Who has ears, let him hear." The disciples asked Jesus, "What was the meaning of that parable?" Jesus said to them, "To you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest, it is a parable, so that seeing that they might not see and hearing that they may not understand." Jesus then explained, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Beside the road, there are those who've heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, those are the ones who've heard. And as they go their way, they are choked with worries and riches, pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But Jesus said, the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Jesus then shares another parable saying, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container and puts it under a bed, but he puts it in a lampstand so that those who come in and out may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. Jesus then tells them in verse 18 to take care how they listen, for whoever has, to him shall much be given, and whoever not has, even that he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Jesus' mother and brothers had come to see him, but were unable to get to him because of the crowd. It was told to him that his mother and brothers were standing outside, wishing to see him. Jesus then said, my mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, on another day, Jesus and the disciples got into a boat. And Jesus says to them, let's go over to the other side. So they launched out. As they were sailing away, Jesus fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they were in danger. The disciples came to Jesus, and they woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. Jesus got up and rebuked the wave and the wind and the surging waves, and the waves and calms. Jesus then said to them, where is your faith? They were amazed and saying to each other, who is this that commands that the wind and the water, and they obey? They sail to Gennesaret as Jesus gets off of the boat and onto the land and meets a man at the city gate who was possessed by a demon. And he had put on no clothing for a long time and was living in the tomb. This man sees Jesus and cries out in a loud voice and fell before him saying, what business do we have with each other? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I beg you, do not torment me. Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. The unclean spirit had seized the man many times, and he was bound by chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus asked him, what is your name? The man said to him, my name is Legion. Legion, for many demons had entered him. Demons were asking Jesus not to command them to go away to the abyss. There was a herd of pigs feeding on the mountain, and the demons asked to permit them to enter the pigs. Jesus granted them permission. The demons came out of the man, entered the pigs. The herd of pigs rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran and reported it in the city and in the country. The people went all out of their way to see what happened and came to Jesus. They found the man whom the demons had come to, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen this reported how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. All of the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding districts asked Jesus to leave them. They were gripped with fear. Jesus got into the boat and left. The man with the demons had begged Jesus to allow him to accompany him, but Jesus sent him away and told him to return to his house and to describe what great things God has done for him. So the man went away proclaiming through the city what great things Jesus had done for him. That concludes chapter 7. May the Lord be blessed. Sister, we give it back to you.
Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do is we are going to now look at some life applications in both chapter 7 and 8. And we're going to focus on just some things that we need to understand how to live our life, how to continue to do the work of Christ as he demonstrated that through his ministry. And if you haven't been with us in the past over the last broadcast, I encourage you to listen, go back and listen on the broadcast and listen to the other parts, parts 1, 2, and 3, because we are covering two chapters at a time. And so we just want you to really dig into these passages. Now, we are just summarizing and we're just giving a few life applications after each chapter, but we want you, my brothers and sisters, to really dig into God's word. That is the purpose of us proclaiming the gospel on Mission from the Heart, so that you can do rich, rich research of the word and applying the word to your life and seeing how your life actually just comes from the pages of the scripture. So as we look at chapter 7, I want to bring to light Jesus' continued ministry, and we're going to look at faith as it continues to show itself in these scriptures. Faith, compassion, rejection, wisdom, love. Now these are the nature of God. He is a faithful God. He is a compassionate God. He is a God who is rejected by many, and his wisdom is unfathomable, and his love, all I can say about his love, it's so big that the human mind cannot comprehend how big God's love is. Now, this is just God in human form, fully divine, and also fully human. And we know that, and we see that in Scripture. So let's look at faith in chapter 7 as it shows itself. Now, as Minister Kathy read concerning the centurion, his faith his faith showed in Christ, but his compassion showed toward his slave. In verse 2 of chapter 7, it indicates the centurion's slave who was highly valued by him was sick and about to die. Now, this centurion, as he indicated here in, let's go to verse 8. The centurion indicated, "For I too am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." So this centurion has a lot of authority in his work, according to his job, according to his status. And the Jewish leaders respected him for what he has done for them in the sense of the word. But I don't want to get too detailed in that. What I want us to focus on was this authoritative soldier had compassion for a lesser soldier, if you will, a slave to him. Again, he tells him what to do, and he does it. But keep in mind that his heart for this brother or for this slave, one that is under him, showed compassion for him. Why? Because he said to others to go. He said, go and seek out Jesus. Verse 3, when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish leaders to him, requesting him to come and save the life of his slave. Now, he wanted his slave to not die, so he knew who to go and seek out. He may have heard about him, maybe even listened to him, but the point is he demonstrated compassion toward his own. And then in verse 6 through 7, we see a heart change in this centurion. We see that he indicated in verse 6, Jesus went to them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Now, that is a heart change. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy, verse 7, to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be cured. Now, again, Simon, when he was a fisherman, he had this same heart change and faith in Christ Jesus. When he told him, Simon told Jesus, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a fish at all. And now you're telling us to cast our nets back out? And Simon said to Jesus, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I'll do it. Here, the centurion saying the same thing. His faith in a man that he knows can heal his slave. So we see faith in verses 6 through 7 from a centurion, and then we even see Christ who speaks of his faith He speaks highly of his faith. In verse 9, Jesus heard this and was amazed at what this man said. And turning to the crowd following him, he even shares the amazement about hearing. And this is what he says. He says, I tell you, Jesus saying this to the crowd now, I tell you, I have not found so great a faith even in Israel. Now, the centurion did not consider himself worthy of being in Jesus' presence, but he had faith that Jesus could heal his servant, even at a distance. The centurion, and then Jesus, of course, says, I'm just ad-libbing this. This is my translation. My. I tell you the truth. I have not found so great a faith even in Israel, my own people, so great a faith than this man here. How does that relate to us as the children of God, as Christ's followers? Our faith is to be in one and one only, anchored in one and one only, and that's Christ and Christ alone. Our faith should not be in our money, what we have sitting in a bank account, what we may have in stocks and bonds, what we may have in Bitcoin or on the New York Stock Exchange. Our faith is not in our possessions. Our faith as children of God should only be in God and God alone. Faith. And we'll see this as we run through the remaining of the verses in chapter 7 and 8. Faith. This is what Jesus needed in our soul, deep-seated in our heart. Faith. Only by faith in Christ we're saved. By faith in Christ. So let's keep looking at faith, compassion. And Jesus speaks about this beautiful faith that this man demonstrated. Passion, again, in verse 13 of chapter 7. More love. More compassion for the poor. This is Jesus showering them with more love, more compassion for the poor. Verse 13. When the Lord saw her, what did he have? He had compassion on her and said, don't cry. Now that's what he tells us. When we're going through a situation, when we're dealing with some things, when we don't know the outcome of something that may be going on in our life, that may be troubling us to some degree, he has compassion on us as his children, just as he did for the woman here. Compassion. Don't cry. Doesn't that comfort you? It comforts me to understand that in him, rest in him. Don't cry is what he's saying. I understand. I've got you. And then as he took care of the situation in these verses, through his compassion for the poor, his love for the poor, verse 15, the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. And verse 16 is the beauty right there where it says, then fear came over everyone, and they glorified God, saying, a grace that has risen among us and God has visited his people. What I want us to look at is the word fear, maybe in your translation or in other translations. It may say awe, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified translation. Verse 16 in chapter 7. And listen to what it says, how it fear and profound awe gripped them all, and they began glorifying and honoring and praising God, saying, a great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people to help and care for and provide for them. This kind of news spread among all of Judea and all the surrounding countryside. This kind of fear is an awe, a fear of reverence that overcame everyone. Again, this is what we are to be like. When God moves in our circumstance, when he shows us tender compassion and love for us, letting us know that he's got this situation, he's got us in every circumstance of our life, that we are to be diligent and faithful, that you will be in reverential awe of what he has done, as he did for this woman whose child was laying on a coffin, clearly dead. So we want to understand the beauty and the benefit of carrying compassion for others as the centurion had for his own, as well as Jesus has for his own, us, believers in Christ Jesus, his children. Let's keep looking at the scripture in chapter 7. Now, as faith and compassion shows beautifully through the passages, we're going to look at John the Baptist, verse 21. Actually, we're going to focus on 29 through, and then I'm going to pull out some areas in this passage that shows compassion, rejection, confusion. And this can be our life also as we go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may come across many who are confused, many who are unsure, many who may have been told one thing and another, and they have no idea what the truth is, what to see, what understand about what they've been told, maybe by other wrong religions, wrong truths. So let's look at this. It says, and I'm going to start here at verse 21. So walk with me in chapter 7, starting in verse 21. At that time, Jesus healed many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and he granted sight to many blind people. Now, this right here in this one verse, 21, is a summary of the miracles Jesus was doing in ministry. This is a summary. He replied to them, being the disciples of John the Baptist. He was replying to them because they were confused to some degree. They kept hearing one thing and they were baptized by John and they wanted to see what they thought should have been taking place. But let's look at this. It says, go and report to John the Baptist, John, the things you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. Verse 23, and anyone who is not offended because of me is blessed. So let me slow down here. Now we see a summary of miracles that Christ did in his ministry right here in verses 21 and 22. And this is what he told them to go tell John. Now, again, some confusion amongst the disciples, not the ones that were with Jesus called, but it's all of the others that are mentioned as disciples of John. Now, let's think about this. Many of us in today's times can be confused. Now, when I say us, I'm saying those who are babes in Christ. Babes in Christ can be confused by all sorts of doctrine. Now Jesus told them, you go tell what you've seen and what you've heard. And we see confusion and rejection within this passage. All of those who had repented and been baptized by John acknowledged God's way of righteousness, John's message as forerunner to Jesus. But the Pharisees, the experts in the law, who would not repent and humble themselves to be baptized by John, rejected the plan of God regarding salvation, and that they rejected. Jesus' focus was on himself for all who were involved, such as the disciples of John, the crowds that followed him, and even those who rejected him, as we see in verse 30. So now let's jump down and move down to verse 29 and 30. And it says, and when all the people, including the tax collectors, heard this, that's the crowds, they acknowledged God's way of righteousness because they had been baptized with John's baptism. But since the Pharisees in the law had not been baptized by him, they rejected the plan of God for themselves. Interesting. They rejected. Now, we, as babes in Christ, who do not study and meditate on the Word of God daily, you can be tossed like a fish out of water, flip-flopping back and forth on the ground, meaning they are out of their environment in order for them to operate like a fish. We can be tossed to and fro with every wrong type of doctrine concerning the Word of God. And so we become confused with our own expectations as to what we think we should see or know or understand. But the gospel is here for us. The scriptures are here for us to read daily, to study daily, to come to an understanding by way of the Holy Spirit revealing to us. This is what we have today as our daily nourishment. So, there are still those today who reject Christ, who don't want to have any parts of it. And they may have even been people who were raised in a Christian setting that the Bible speaks or taught or preached about Christ across the pulpit. But they seem to not continue in their walk or hunger or thirst for the Word of God. So they flip-flopped over into a different sect, if you will. And they became confused, and depending on that sect, they may have even rejected God. So it is our discipline as believers in Christ, true to Christ, filled with the Spirit, have acknowledged Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I think this is a place where we need to stop, drop, and pray, Sister Kathy, that we would not take it for granted that every listener to this broadcast is saved, a believer in Christ Jesus. And I just believe this is a beautiful time to just rest and pray. So,
amen.
Sister Kathy, if you could take us to the Lord in prayer and pray a prayer of salvation for those who are listening. Sister Kathy.
Amen. It's vital that we have a relationship with the Lord. It even helps in us understanding the Word of God. It helps in us learning to live the Word of God. So if you don't have a relationship with the Lord and you've not invited him into your life, I want you to pray this prayer with me. God, I confess that I am a sinner. I need Jesus to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior. God, please forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me and that he rose to give me life. I pray, God, and ask that Jesus would come into my life. I pray, God, and ask that Jesus would be the Lord and the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer sincerely in your heart and you've asked Jesus to come into your life, to be your Lord and your Savior. He is exactly that. And we encourage you to get into a church that teaches the Word of God, get into a small group that teaches the Word of God so that you might grow and mature in the faith. Minister Carnita?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Minister Kathy, for that beautiful prayer. And I pray that, again, it was her words, but it's your heart that receives Jesus Christ as the anchor of your soul, that he is now your master, your Savior, and that you would seek out, as she said, a Bible teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, that when you get up, hallelujah, you have let the world know that you are a Christ follower. Praise the Lord. And we just thank you for receiving Christ in your life. This is a major move. And yes, the enemy, Satan, he's mad. But you know what? We know that God the Father is glad. And that is the wonderful, wonderful knowledge of knowing that our God pleased with what you have done. You said yes to him. So praise be the Lord. So now as we continue to look at the scripture as how Jesus was, again, rejected by those Pharisees and the leaders of the law, again, he also brings about wisdom. But before I move forward, I want us to, again, look at chapter 6, and let's go to verse 22. Chapter 6 in Luke, verse 22. Very, very familiar to us all, and it reads this way. We'll start with 21. Blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness, hallelujah, are you who hunger now for righteousness, actively seeking right standing with God, for you will be completely satisfied. Blessed, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace, are you who weep now over your sins and repent, for you will laugh when the burden of sin is lifted. We just took care of that with those who gave your heart to Christ. This, you are lifted. This, you are complete. And 22, blessed, morally courageous and spiritually alive with life joy in God's goodness, are you when people hate you and exclude you from their fellowship and insult you and scorn your name as evil because of your association with the Son of God. Don't miss that. Keep that in mind. Verse 22 in Luke 6. Always remember, but God. He will strengthen us. He provides for us. He is our strong tower, and he is our fellowship. When we are in right standing with him, we fellowship with him, him with us. Amen to that. So, we're going to continue to look at some life applications concerning verse 35 in Luke 7. Verse 35 in Luke 7, and follow me in reading verse 35. Yet wisdom is vindicated and shown to be right by all her children, by the lifestyle, moral character, and good deeds of her followers. Listen to that. By the lifestyle we live, our moral character, and good deeds of her followers. Wisdom. Now, let's look at this in Proverbs 1. So let's go to Proverbs 1, the book of wisdom. I like to think of it that way. Proverbs 1. Now, I'm going to read this in the Message translation. And it would be best for you to just listen, and it, because it may be a little challenging for you to follow verse by verse. But listen to what it says in Proverbs 1, the Message translation. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so we'll know how to live right and well. Don't miss that, my brothers and sisters. Right and well, to understand what life means and where it's going. A manual for living. All learning. A manual for living. For learning what's right and just and fair. To teach the inexperienced the ropes, and give our young people a grasp on reality. there is something here also for seasoned men and women. Still a thing or two for experienced to learn. Fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate. The rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Don't miss that. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Pay close attention, friend, to what your father tells you. Never forget what you learn at your mother's knee. Wear their counsel like flowers in your hair, like rings on your fingers. Dear friend, if bad companions tempt you, don't go along with them. If they say, let's go out and raise some hell, let's beat up some old men, mug some old women, let's pick them clean and get them ready for their funeral. We'll load up on top quality loot. We'll haul it home by the truckload. Join us for the time of your life. With us, it's share and share alike. Oh, friend, don't give them a second look. Don't listen to them for a minute. They're racing a very bad end, hurrying to ruin everything they lay their hands on. Nobody robs a bank when everyone's watching, yet that's what these people are doing. They're doing themselves in. When you grab all you can get, that's what happens. The more you get, the less you are. Lady Wisdom goes out in the streets, in the street, shouts at the town center. She makes her speech in the middle of the traffic. She takes her stand at the busiest corner. She calls out, simpleton, how long will you wallow in ignorance? Cynics, how long will you feed your cynicism? How long will you refuse to learn about faith? I can revise your life. Look, I'm ready to pour out my spirit on you. I'm ready to tell you all I know. As it is, I've called, but you've turned a deaf ear. I've reached out to you, but you've ignored me. Since you laugh at my counsel and make a joke at my advice, how can I take you seriously? I'll turn the tables and joke about your troubles. What if the roof falls in and your whole life goes to pieces? What if catastrophe strikes and there's nothing to show for your life but rubble and ashes. You'll need me then. You'll call for me, but don't expect an answer. No matter how hard you look, you won't find me because you hated knowledge and had nothing to do with the fear of God. Because you wouldn't take my advice and brushed aside all my offers to train you. Well, you've made it bed. You've made your bed. Now you lie in it. You wanted your own way. Now, how do you like it? Don't see what happens, you simpletons. Carelessness kills. Complacency is murder. Pay first attention to me and then relax. Now you can take it easy. You're in good hands. When I read this proverb concerning wisdom in the Message translation, it hit me so strongly concerning life and how foolishly we can be in our lifestyle, in our disobedience to hearing what God has to say to us, accepting wisdom from the Word of God. We live in a generation today that is unresponsive to the call of repentance and salvation. But thanks be to God for ministries who offer or extend Christ to others to come into the household of faith or the ark of salvation. A life change has been seen in verses 31 and 35 of chapter 7 in Luke. Life change. Christ has done so much in the lives of so many, and their lifestyles show or reflect opposite. And we read in Proverbs, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Read it in the Message, but I'm going to reread it in the Amplified. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is, worshiping Him and regarding Him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But arrogant fools despise skillful and godly wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. We are to stay on the side of reverence, fearing the Lord, not on the side of foolishness. Wisdom, love, is an action word. We see this in what he had did with the one in verse 43 of chapter 7. Listen to what he says. Now, as Minister Kathy read for us, I don't want to read it in its entirety, but I'm going to just move to 43. Simon answered, I suppose the one who forgave more. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered the house, and she just worshiped me. You gave me no water, but she washed my feet with her tears. She worshiped the Lord with her tears, with her hair, and anointed his feet and kissed his feet. She worshiped him. She loved him so that she worshiped him. Love is an action of ours. Her action and pressing faith saved her, as Jesus indicated in verse 50. He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is what we are to understand, that when we love our neighbor and we love our God, who we are to praise him by the fruit of our lips, we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, we are to honor him in our life living. We are his children. And this is what Jesus continues to exemplify, his love, his compassion, his faith toward the poor, toward the less than. We are an extension of his love, his compassion. And we are to stand up and be a witness for the Lord. We are to continue to support those who are in the vineyard working, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as they did in chapter 8 of Luke, verses 1 through 3. Looking at verse 3, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who were supporting them from their possession. They supported the brothers as they went and worked, did the work of Christ. This is what we are to do with our own brothers and sisters in Christ. As we proclaim the gospel, support your local church, pay your tithe and offering, give to the less than, encourage the weak, undergird, walk alongside, mentor some young woman in Christ or young man in Christ. We are to support them. And then as Jesus trained or shared parables, what is a parable? Well, easily mentioned to me and explained to me, even to understand, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Christ's way of teaching the crowds and with things they could relate to. This is how he communicated with them in parables, as he did with the seed and the sower. In verses 4 through 7:15, he explains and he tells in parables to help us understand what the Word of God means and how we can share stories in Scripture that help others come to know him in the pardoning of their sins. We can even share our testimony as children of light. Go and tell it on the mountain, as the songwriter says, to stand up and be a witness in our testimony on how God has brought you through, on how the word has settled into your fertile ground, your heart. Good ground. Good fertile ground. That your ears are attentive to what the word of God said to you, so that you would have a changed lifestyle. And then we are to be listeners of obedience, as indicated in chapter 8, verse 16, no one, after lighting a lamp, we don't cover it with a basket. We aren't to dim down the light that shines bright in us. As children of God, we are to shine bright, that the world can see who really lives inside of us. God's church today must be visible and take the gospel message to all the nations. And woe to us if we do not share the gospel. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. So walk with me to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 14 through 16. And it reads, "You are the light of Christ to the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does any one light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify who? Your Father who is in heaven. Amen. This is what we are to exemplify. Let our light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence. Why? That God would be glorified. In God, your life walk, in God, your relationship with Christ, all things are working together for the good of those who are called, who love Him, and that's capital H-I-M, working together for the good that others may come to Him. That is the goal. That is the message, that they come to Him. Jesus came, as we've seen in Scripture in these chapters. He came for the sick. He came for the sinner. He came for the lost, spiritually sick, eternally lost. And we are to spread the gospel in such a way, live out a life in such a way that they may see our good deeds and moral excellence, and recognize and honor and glorify your Father, our Father, who is in heaven. Relationship. Relationship. True relationship. Jesus makes mention of that in chapter 8, verse 21. My mother and my brothers are those who hear and do the word of God. And do the word of God. Believing by faith, but hear and do. Not do good deeds and expect to be saved because of your good deeds. No. Believe by faith. And because who we believe in by faith, it propels us to move, and that means to share love. Love is action. Love is an action word. Listeners, hearers, and doers. And this brings us to the end of this particular broadcast in a wonderful teaching series, as we've been bringing out some beautiful nuggets, the ministry of Christ recorded by Luke. And we were focusing in on these two chapters, 7 and 8. And I pray that your ears have heard some things that the Holy Spirit wanted you to hear. And I pray that you obey the Holy Spirit and do as He says do, meaning with a submissiveness and a yielding to Him that brings glory and honor and praise to our Father. Always remember, my brothers and sisters, as the grass wither, flowers, they fade season after season, the Word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you, and we will look forward to you sharing time with us through the Word of God again, Sister Kathy and myself, in this wonderful series, The Ministry of Jesus, recorded by Luke on Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless you and remain in His will.